Good morning, one and all. Welcome out to service this morning. I was reading something the other day. It was a comment section and said that they were talking about preaching and they were talking about preachers. And this lady said on there, she said, she commented down there as they do. She said that I have never met a preacher yet that believes what he preaches. Well, I can tell her something. She's not met me then. She's not met me because I believe what I preach. Amen? I don't just stand up here and say things just to hear myself speak words. I'm here to tell you this morning that I believe what I preach to you this morning. I'm going to be over in the book of James this morning, the fourth chapter, beginning with the seventh verse down through the tenth verse. I'm going to read it here in a little bit. I'm going to be preaching on repentance this morning. That's what I want to preach on this morning is repentance. The Lord laid it upon my heart to preach about that. I'm going to have a word of prayer in a minute, but I want to tell you this. It's a word that you don't hear very much used outside of the realm of church. You're not going to hear it out here in a lexicon out here in the world somewhere. You're not going to hear it out there because they don't use that word. Repent's not in their vocabulary out there sometimes. And why should it be? Whenever, no matter what you say or do out there is right, why would you have to worry about repenting? I'm here to tell you this morning, without repenting, you will never come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to repent. Let us have a word of prayer. Father, let us come, Lord, as we come to you this morning. Father, I pray, let us come to you, Lord, with open hearts this morning and open minds, Lord. I pray for that. I pray, Father, this morning that, Lord, that all these precious souls that are here this morning, that you've brought here this morning, I pray, Father, that, Lord, they are here for a reason, Lord. They're here, Father, for your word, for what you'd have for us to what you'd have for us to hear here this morning, Lord, I pray. Father, I just ask you, Lord, now to be with this service. Get me out of the way, Lord, I pray. I want to speak the words that you'd have for me to speak, Lord, and I'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we ask, and amen. First off, I want to tell you what repentance doesn't mean. It doesn't mean just being sorry for your sins because you got caught. It doesn't mean that. Repentance means being sorry enough to quit the sin that you have repented of. That's what repentance means. It means being so sorry for it that you know what, and not only are you sorry for it, but that you quit doing the sin that you know what that you were doing. That's what repentance means. Remember John the Baptist, whenever he said, repent. He told them the generation to repent. He was talking to, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were coming down there. And he told them, he said, bring ye forth fruit for repentance, for meat for repentance. He was telling them this. He said, you know what? When you come for repentance, make sure that it's true. Make sure that repentance is something that you grab a hold of, that you do, and that you're not just giving lip service to. That's what repentance means. He meant for them to change. And that's what repentance means also. It means for us to change. Listen to me. I was thinking about this. When I repented of my sins, not only did I repent, but guess what? I turned and started going the other direction. I didn't talk the way I used to talk. I didn't act the way that I used to act. I was totally different when I repented of my sins. I'm here to tell you this morning, and if I'm talking to you, we're going to have an altar call here in a little bit. If you have repented of your sins, you're not the same person that you once were. Your chains are gone. Behold, all things become new. Not just part of it. My Bible says all things become new. If you have not changed from head to toe, inside and out, then you need to repent. You need to repent. It's a change in mind that will lead to a change in lifestyle. Exactly what will happen. You're walking in one direction, you go the exact opposite. I'll tell you what, I wrote down what repentance means out of the dictionary. It said the action of repenting with sincere regret and remorse. That's what repentance means. So, did you get it? Sincere regret and remorse. Not because you got caught at something. Not because that maybe grandma or grandpa told you that something was wrong. When you repent, you're answering to a God. The only true God. And if you repent, then you, brothers and sisters, you will redo it with remorse and in sincerity. Because you know who you got to answer to. You know what? You don't answer to Dave Long. You will never answer to Dave Long. You know that. I know that. You can come up here and shake my hand all you want to. You can come up here and ask me if this is right and that's wrong. You know what's right and what's wrong if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. I'll tell you what. There are some things we're going to read here in James that I want to talk about when it gets down to. And read along with me. I want to tell you something this morning I want you to do. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to read along with me as I say these things. And then as I say them down through the week, I want you to go back over them. And I want you to read them for yourself. And I want you to let me, you don't have to let me know, but you answer for yourself if I am telling you the truth and what is right and what is wrong. Because I believe I am telling you the truth of what I'm about to preach to you the rest of this morning. James, the 4th chapter. Let's just start with the first verse. I'm going to read down a ways, so just bear along with me. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You need to mark that in yellow in your Bibles and remember that. You need to do that because that's very strong words, very profound words. But it's truth. It said, whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scriptures saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now this is where I'm going to start preaching on here a little bit, but it says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brethren and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Very profound, aren't they not? Those are very heartfelt words right there. The first thing that I want to start with here is, you know what? Whenever we're talking about repentance, whenever I read this about being repentant in your heart, these are some of the things I feel that we need to do whenever we repent. And the first thing that you need to do is, when it says it right there in verse 7, is submit yourself. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The very first command that James gives us here is to submit to God. Submission is not a popular term. I'm just here to tell you. I know it's not. Whenever I say submission in the culture that we live in, submission is not a very popular word. You know what it means? It means the action of accepting or yielding to a superior force or the will or the authority of another person. That's what submitting means. And if we are going to be repentant, we've got to submit ourselves to what? Therefore, to God. When the word submit is open, whenever I say it to you, you can see a certain sense of repulsion against it. You can see people who are repulsing it because they don't like to submit to something. People don't like to submit. You talk to them about submission. The Bible, you know what? You can even feel pushback about it whenever you say submit. Because we live in a culture, you know what, that believes that, you know what? It's about me. It's about me. And you know what? I'm not submitting to you because I know what's best. We live in that kind of a culture today. We do. And that is exactly what they do. So whenever you say submit, whenever this is very important to repentance, I want you to understand that. Because if you are going to repent, you're going to have to submit. No one likes the idea very much. But regardless of whether or not you like it or not, the Bible teaches it. Do you understand that? So if you claim to walk in obedience to God, if you claim to walk in obedience, you must accept it. The Bible teaches us a lot about submission. It does. And here's some of it. It says that children are supposed to submit to their parents. Amen? It says employees are supposed to submit to their employers. Angels are supposed to submit to God. We are supposed to submit to elders. And I can go on and on and on. All of us are supposed to submit to one another. You know the Bible teaches that? I am supposed to submit to Ron. Ron's supposed to submit to me in the glory and admiration of the Lord. Not that I'm Lord and master over Ron. Our wives are supposed to submit to us, not because we are Lord and masters over them. Because if we are doing it right, we will do it in love, and love will shine forth. And they will want to be part of your life and want to be with you, to the will of God. Submission is taught all the way through the Bible. That's why it's important here this morning for me to let you know that whenever we are going to repent, we have to have a spirit of submission. And we are supposed to submit to God. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 tells us this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Did you get that, children? Did you get that? We're not talking about, we're talking about a reward from God. If you submit, and parents, we're talking to you this morning. You're not supposed to overuse that submission either. We know that. You're not supposed to make your children angry for no reason at all. But the Bible talks about submission, and you will receive a reward. It tells you right there that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on this earth. Colossians 3, 18 through 24, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband, as it is fit in the Lord. Husband, love your wives, and be not bitter against him. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Get this, fathers. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey all things, your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whosoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Submit is not a dirty four-letter word, or whatever many words that letters is in it. It's not a dirty word. Submission is one of the things that we have to do. You know what? If we're going to find true repentance in our hearts. Submission. Submission. The second thing it tells us to do when we truly repent is to resist the devil. It tells us to resist him. And you know what? You just don't give in without a fight. We resist the devil and the things that he comes against us with. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you cannot resist the devil on your own strength. You agree with me on that? You cannot resist him with your own strength. We resist in putting on the whole armor of God. That's how we resist. And I want to read them to you this morning. It said, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It talks us to, our loins should be girthed with truth. It tells us that. We should put on the breastplate of righteousness. We should have the feet of the gospel of peace with us. The shield of faith should be with us. The helmet of salvation should be with us. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always. Listen to me. What is the reward if we do those things? It tells me that Satan will flee from us. If we put on the whole armor of God, if you're wanting to resist the devil, if you're wanting true repentance in your life, put on the whole armor of God and Satan will flee from you. What I believe happens too many times is we give up without a fight. We give in too soon. We don't try to resist. We don't try to put on the whole armor of God. We give out without much of a fight. And I may tell you something else. Don't be trying to battle him on his own turf. What are you saying, preacher? Because Satan can bait the hook, and he knows just exactly what to bait it with. And guess what? If you start messing with the bait, he'll set the hook. Do you understand that? You may not be able to go with the friends that you used to hang out with. Amen? You may not be able to listen to the music and watch the same stuff that you used to watch. I'm here to tell you this morning, whenever he does that work in your life, he will change your life. But repentance has to come. And you have to resist the devil. You have to resist him by putting on the whole armor of God. Don't mess around with the bait that he has laid out there for you. You may not be able to go to the same old places you used to go. I don't know. I'm here to tell you this morning, don't think that when you're messing on Satan's turf, when you're going back and dealing with his turf, that listen, that he is not going to try to bait you even more. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Leads us to the third thing. It's found in verse 8, and it tells us here we need to draw nigh to God. If you want true repentance, we need to draw nigh unto God. You know what? He will draw nigh to you if you do that. You know, it says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In order to draw near to God, effort will be required on our part. You know that? It's going to take effort for us to draw near to God. It's going to take some effort. What effort is that? And you hear me preach this all the time. We need to get our nose buried into His Word. We need to get on our knees and pray. We need to be in the house of God with God's people and be around God's people with testimonies. That's how we draw near to God. That's how we draw near to Him. The closer that we can do that, praying and talking to Him is so essential. Listen, if you have, and the closest thing I can think of, and the Lord put this point, is a marriage. How strong is a marriage if there's no communication? How strong is it? How strong is marriage without communication? It's not strong. I guarantee you there have been more marriages that have broke up because of lack of communication than there has been over communication. Listen to me, it's the same thing with God. Listen to me. If you want to know true repentance in your heart, draw near to Him. Try to talk to Him. Try to be around Him and get with Him as much as we possibly can. For whenever it says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Those words, He's not lying right there. That is Scripture. I know that. And many of you in here know that as well. You know what? The closer that you draw near to God, have you not felt the Spirit more? Have you not felt Him getting closer to you? Amen. I have. I have. How about you? What about you this morning? Can you say that? If you want to experience true repentance in your life, I'm here to tell you this morning, draw nigh to Him. Get as close to Him as you can. Reading His Word. I know I preach on this a good bit because I believe His Word is important. Let me ask you a question, and I've asked this to this church here before, but there's some new ones in here today. How do you know I'm telling you the truth if you don't read the Word? How do you know that I'm not just preaching to you something that's out of my own mind, out of my own thoughts? How do you know that if you do not read the Word for yourself and understand it for yourself? That's how we draw nigh to God. That's how me and you, by reading God's Word and being involved in God's Word and studying it as much as we can, having and praying and having the Holy Spirit show us the direction of God's Word, that's how we draw nigh to Him. That's how we do it. Being around individuals who are like-minded. I love coming to church because I know why. I come here and there are people in here who are like-minded as I am. I go to work, there's not people like-minded like that. I go to Walmart, there's a lot of people there that are not like-minded. I go anywhere you can go, you can say that. I'm here to tell you I like being in a church. I like being in the sun. I like being with God's people. Because I know that, you know what? They understand that Jesus is Lord. They understand that He is the only way. They understand so many things because we are around like-minded individuals. And that's another way that we draw nigher to God. That's another way that we draw closer to Him. It tells us also there, it says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. I don't know about you, but if I'm out working and I get grease or I get stuff on my hands, it's harder to get a grip on something to get it open. Will you agree with me on that? If you got the grime and the dirt of this world on your hands, I'm here to tell you, you cannot get a grip on what God has for you. You know that? You cannot get a grip on what God has for you. It's why He tells us to cleanse our hands, to cleanse them, to get that stuff off or get the world off of us so we may be able to repent and to get a hold of what He has for us. That's what He's trying to tell us. 1 John 1:19 tells us this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. That is a promise. Did you get that? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Cleanse our hands. Cleanse them. Get pure. When we come to God for forgiveness and we seek cleansing to prevent us from doing the same things over and over and over again. You know what? I believe there are times that we will fail as Christians. I do. I believe that. But I believe that we have this altar up here to come back to make it right. Do you believe that? Amen. We have this altar to come back and make it right. And we need to use this altar, whether it's here in this church, whether it's at your house, no matter where it may be, we had better get our hands clean. We better get them clean because that's what God is asking of us. If you want repentance, true repentance, that's what He's asking. Folks, your hands are dirty. Get the grip on. You can't get a grip on things when they're like that. You just can't. And we can't get a grip. You know, you say, well, I don't understand what the Word says. I don't understand why they feel this way. I don't understand because the Spirit's not dealing with me. Listen to me. Cleanse your hands. Be able to get a grip on these things. And you'll understand what we're talking about. You'll understand that it's not some fairy tale. It's not something that we just make up. You'll come to know what true repentance is in your life. You'll come to know that. What's the reward? You know what? Psalms 24, 3 through 5 tells us, who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? He that has clean hands, a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings of the Lord and righteousness from the God of salvation. That is your reward. That is your reward if you clean your hands. That's what it is. How many of you in here want to ascend to the hill of the Lord? How many in here want to do that this morning? I hope and pray that you all do. It says also to purify our hearts. It tells us to purify. Many times we see the word pure in the Bible. We see it in there. We see that. You know what? I thought about this. You see commercials on television where they advertise gold coins and they say it's 99.99% pure. Praise God, God wants us 100% pure. He wants to get the dross out of our lives. Do you understand that? Sometimes he wants to get all those impurities out of our life so we can draw life. And repentance is so much a part of that. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, the way it's going. But Lord, you know what? I need to purify our heart. We need to get it clean along with our hands. And praise God, you know what? Again, you're not 99.99% a Christian. Amen? You're 100% a Christian. That's what we need to be. 100% a Christian. We need to get the impurity of greed out of our lives. We need to get the impurity of lust. Matthew tells us that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? They shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are the pure in heart. I hope and pray this morning that you know what? That your heart is pure. That your heart is pure. Revelations 3, 15 and 16. God accused the Christians in Revelation of being fence setters. Did he not? He accused them of being that. For they were neither hot nor cold. Praise God. I want you hot this morning. Amen? Amen. I want you on fire for God. For you know what? You know what purifies us when we go through the trials of fire? That's what purifies us. That's what gets the dross out of us. That's what gets the impurities out of us. That's what does it. If you want true repentance, purify your heart this morning as well. Do that this morning. God may be working on you this morning to purify you. I don't know. He may be trying you with fire. Maybe there's things going on in your life this morning that God is trying to purify your life to get you to where He wants you to be. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what's going on this morning. But I'm here to tell you, if you let Him do the work in your life, when you get to the other side of it, you will know the purity of God. You will know what it's like to repent. Next thing it tells us to do is in verse 9. It said, be afflicted, mourn and weep. Mourn and weep. What's he trying to tell us there? James is trying to talk to people and let them know, whenever you realize what your situation is, whenever you realize where you stand with God, you will mourn, you will weep, because you realize that you answer to a higher power than just anybody on this earth. When I got saved, I remember that night when I got saved. I've told you about it. I don't know how many times I've told you about it. But when I got saved that night, when I got up out of there, the tears were flowing because I realized what I had just come out of. I realized where I stood with God. Praise God, that's what he's talking about, mourning and weeping. It's because, you know why? Because whenever you realize where you truly stand with God this morning, where you stand with Him, you'll repent and you will give it all to Him. That's what you will do. James is talking to everyone that's like that this morning. Romans 7, 24 and 25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of the God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There's a war that's going to go on within us. We know that. There's a war. Paul even talked about it. He said, though I want to do good, there's times that I don't do good. Repent. Repent. Mourn and cry and have God to just show you where you're at in your life. Don't be deceiving yourself. Don't live a lie this morning. There's too many people that live a lie this morning. They're living it. They live a lie. They're thinking that everything's all right when it's not. I'm here this morning to ask you to search your heart. Look inside and make sure that you are where you should be with God. That you have repented and that you repented and done what God wants you to do. Only when you face reality this morning, I may say this. Only when you come face to face with reality that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, when true repentance can come to you. Listen to me. What's your reward? Matthew 5, 4 said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for you shall be comforted. Guess what? If you are repenting and you come with bitter tears and repent, I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus will come into your heart. The Spirit will reign in your heart this morning, and you will rejoice. You will rejoice knowing that you are His. Verse 10 tells us to humble ourselves. When I humble myself, I fall on my knees. My Maker and allows me. I fall before Him and I realize that He is the only one. He is the Maker. He's the one that has done this for me. I fall on my knees. I humble myself. I come before Him, a weak human being. Did you know that? I come before Him as a weak human being. I do that every week, every day, every night of my life. I come to Him knowing that I am a weak human being. And knowing that I cannot do nothing without Him. I can't. I humble myself. And you know what? If you want to know true repentance, you have to be a humble individual. Matthew 12, 30, 23, 12 says, "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." You get that? If we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. That's what He will do. It tells us here, it says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. And he that speaketh evil of his brother judges his brother." Listen, that's another thing that we need to do for true repentance, folks. You know what? We need to get off of this of speaking evil about one another. We need to get off of it. You know what? There's an old saying, and my grandmother used to say it, and you've heard it time and time again. If you cannot say nothing good about someone, don't say nothing at all. Amen? It's hard. I know it is. It's hard sometimes. People speak evil. People speak bad. And they may not even intentionally do it. But you know what? If for us to know true repentance, we've got to do this. We've got to do these things. We've got to listen to what James is trying to tell us here. We need to submit. We need to resist the devil. We need to draw nigh to God. We need to cleanse your hands. We need to cleanse our hearts. We need to be afflicted and mourn and weep for our sins and what's going on around us and our families. We need to humble ourselves. And we need to watch our tongues. Amen? We need to do that and we can know true repentance in our lives. And God can bless us and bring us and draw us closer to Him. I'm here this morning to tell you, again, go home. Study this and find if I am not telling you the truth. See if I'm not telling you that and come to know what true repentance is. And I'm going to ask him to come and get a song here this morning. I want to ask you something. Has God dealing with your heart this morning? Do you know what true repentance is in your heart this morning? Do you know what it is? Because if you don't, this altar is open. I promise you this, if you come and the Spirit's drawing you up here, Jesus will meet you here. He will meet you here, and He will take care of the repenting problem in your life. Amen?